Important public service announcement, everyone. Gem Hunt is back in action.
Woo! Yeah!
So call your loved ones, hide under the bed, do what you gotta do. But we're here, and we're weird, and we're recording an episode.
So yay!
Let's get it crackling. My name is Cody, and I recently spent 2 days shitting my guts and brains out.
Oh, that's true. More to come. I'm Beth, and I have a big plan to wear my American flag Converse tomorrow, and I voted, and I'm trying to be hopeful.
And I'm Buggy, and I'm also here.
Oh, that's, yeah, callback.
What the hell?
I got nervous. I couldn't think of what to say.
It's her first presidential election.
And it's my first presidential election.
Your first and last.
Oh, Lord.
Yep, because October's over. Unfortunately, our wonderful month of horror movies got a bit disrupted. Actually, it got completely turned the fuck upside down, if we're being honest. But, you know, things happen. Spent a couple weeks driving around the state of Washington, sleeping in weird places, because my dad was in the hospital. And what I have to say is, sometimes you just have to roll with the punches, even if the punches never seem to stop. Also, we're recording this on election eve, so by the time this episode is live, the Nazis will have already taken over.
No.
There's just a lot of shit going on.
It's going to be okay. It's all going to be okay. They're preemptively boarding up the whole fucking city. On my way into work, I was like, really? But you know what? There's more of us than there are of them. It's going to be okay.
We'll see about that.
It's a horror movie in the making.
Yeah. Anyway, I hope you all voted. And I guess my advice to all of you listening out there is try to take care of yourself. And when you get old and crusty and unsteady and unwell, at the very least, remember to thoroughly clean your genitals and asshole on a regular basis. Because if you don't, your brain is going to go haywire and melt. Anyway, at some point, we're going to do a recap of everything we watched in October. We didn't do all 31 movies like we had planned, but we put a pretty good dent in our list. We saw some good ones. We saw a few that weren't so good. And maybe we'll each come up with a top 10 list something like that.
I think we managed to watch it like 25, and most of them were pretty fucking good. Cody makes the list, and he did a really good job curating it this year. And also, can I say one more thing, which is my big joke about all of this, which is we should have thought of this before we decided to have parents. But
Thank you. Dun.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a terrible decision. Anyway, you slice it. So let's get into our movie. We got a movie that we're reviewing tonight after not having reviewed anything for what? 4 months? 7 months?
It's been a month.
Okay, it's been a month. Feels like 4 months. What film are we talking about today?
It's Siwoo Dino.
Nice. How did you pick it?
So, I might have said this before, but, you know, I've been trying to, well, I know I said before that I've been trying to, like, source my movies from recommendations from people I know. And this, actually, I know this wonderful makeup artist / artist named Rocket, who is from Bali, and she wanted me to pick a certain kind of Indonesian horror movie about this certain demon that they have in her village, but the one I could find was, like, absolutely unavailable.
Yeah, we looked everywhere. We couldn't find that thing. We tried, though.
Yeah, this is like a pretty good, it had a lot of people that liked it, but I don't think it had much buzz in the States, even though it was pretty big, I think, in Indonesia.
Yeah, at the moment, I think it's still a potential hidden gem in the making, although it's newer. It was released in 2023, so it could catch on at some point. We'll see. This was directed by Kimo Stambol, who also directed the Queen of Black Magic remake, which we've seen, and a movie called Macabre from 2009, which I think may have been the first Indonesian horror feature that I ever watched, if I'm remembering correctly.
Mm, cool.
I kind of don't remember much about it. I might have to revisit that one. It was written by Agasaya Karim and Khalid Khashoggi. I'm going to butcher these names, so I apologize to everyone listening out there. It was based on a viral social media thread by some person named Simple Man. This is kind of a mystery to me. I don't know if anybody knows anything about the Simple Man stuff.
I read a little bit about it, And yeah, it just seems like it was like a Twitter thread and it was like this thing about a curse. But one of the quote I read in an article about Simple Man was, it could cause curiosity as well as pleasure from fear.
What the hell?
I don't know.
Interesting.
I like the sound of that.
Yeah, don't you? Yeah.
Who was in this thing? Okay, I don't know anything about the big stars of Indonesian cinema, but these are, I think, the top billed people in the movie. Mika Tambayong played Shri. I believe that's how you say that character's name. Rio Dewanto played Sujik. Gavina Lukita Du played Erna. Agla Artaladia, God damn, this is hard, played Dini. So Shri, Erna, and Dini are kind of the three main characters we're going to be following in this movie. They're the team that has to deal with the thing. Where can you watch this? It is currently only streaming on Amazon Prime here in the United States. So, pretty limited availability. Although, if you have Amazon Prime, you can check it out. So before we get into the recap, I just wanted to talk about Indonesian horror a little bit. And if it seems like we're experiencing a avalanche of Indonesian horror here in the US of A, it's because horror films are insanely popular in Indonesia right now. I read an article from an Australian ABC news outlet from earlier this year, and that article noted the following data point. Of the 108 local films that screened in cinemas last year in Indonesia, 51 were horror films. So that's approximately 40% of the films that that screened in local cinemas. And as of May of this year, 3 of the top 4 domestic box office hits were also horror films. So, crazy popular. Apparently the horror genre's always been popular in Indonesia, but the industry has really taken off, I would say, maybe over the last 10 to 15 years, particularly it seems like the past 5 years or so. And that's mainly because the quality of the films have drastically improved from the stuff that was coming out in the 70s and 80s and maybe became more competitive on the international market. But much like the US, the 70s and 80s are still heralded as the golden age of horror in Indonesia. So, we've seen a handful of these films. Honestly, we barely scratched the surface of what's out there, but we've seen some. And also, you know, just in general, I don't know a lot about Indonesia. But did you know that Indonesia comprises 17,000 islands?
Yeah, I read that. And also that, like, what's the big city in Java is like one of the, it's like the largest island city in the world.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I wrote. See, this is, we watched this a month ago.
Yeah,
I had notes.
Here's some trivia: which nation has the most islands? Any guesses?
Indonesia.
You got a guess?
No.
She has no guess.
I have no guess.
It's Sweden.
Whoa.
267,570 islands.
That's
Indonesia is third. In the world, in the amount of islands.
What's second?
I don't know. I didn't write that down. But I don't care. Second is just the second first loser.
Second doesn't matter. Can I say one quick thing, too? The lore, which I've never done 23andMe, and I probably never will, even though now it doesn't matter. The lore in my family is that we are part Javanese. That is the lore.
Family lore.
The family lore says Java. Anyway.
I'm an American.
I know.
Oh, that's not what my 23andMe said.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She did do hers, and she is. This is where she finds out she's adopted.
Oh, I found out.
Sorry, hell of a way.
Well, some of the films we've seen from Indonesia, Satan Slaves, Impetigore, May the Devil Take You, as I mentioned, The Queen of Black Magic, which is a remake of an 80s film. I've seen Macabre. I don't think you guys have seen it.
No.
There's also a weird old one called The Forbidden Door, I think was pretty cool. And then obviously, if you've seen any of the VHS anthology films, there's some Indonesian shorts in those anthologies. Before we move on, I just want to give a shout out to Benny Soberja, who's an Indonesian guitarist who was active in the 70s. He's got this album called Gimme a Piece of Gut Rock, which was originally released on cassette in 1977. We have the reissue on LP. So if you like psychedelic prog rock stuff that's also kind of catchy and unique, yeah, check out Benny Soberja. Good stuff. Okay, what's this movie about, yo?
Okay, so Cibodino, the name translates to 1,000 days. Starts with two young women, and they're doing this ritual, and the ritual goes horribly wrong. It involves, there's a cassette tape playing with instructions, and the, or like an incantation kind of, and it gets garbled, and then all hell breaks loose. The all hell breaking loose involves a pretty cool subtitle, which is broken head sound. I thought that was cool. Although I don't actually like a broken head sound. So after that scene, we cut to Sri, who's a young woman who's looking for money, for work, because her dad is sick and he needs medication and she wants to be able to buy it for him. There's an ad for an assistant for this kind of well-known local family called the Atmojo family. And there's this whole thing. I think Buggy's right. This is important. She's riding her bike and she gets hit by a car. And that's how she gets taken into the house, because there's like lines of people around the block trying to get this job.
And she actually like leaves because she doesn't have a degree or anything.
Right.
And she's like, I'm going to go. And then she gets hit by one of the like servants of the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Mercedes hits her. And then So she ends up getting the job and meeting the matriarch of the family, which that was kind of cool too. The matriarch is like, something's real fucked up with her. Her skin's coming off, which was kind of scary, actually. But it turns out what the job entails is performing this ritual to help the matriarch's granddaughter, Della, who is under a 1,000-day curse. So three girls get hired to do the job. It's Sri, Erna, and Dini. And they're bound to stay on this rural property. And there's sort of like a magic, there's like an enchantment around it. If they try and leave, they get sick. There's like a, you know,
yeah,
they're sound.
Like noses bleed and
right, nosebleeds. Yeah. There's an older man that's helping them that kind of understands it more. He's kind of like a shaman maybe, or a guide, but stuff still starts going wrong with the ritual. Also, Sri is having these dreams that involve this man she's following, and it's almost like she's following him to like a parallel world, even though she's asleep. And
she like wakes up in a sugar cane field, is what.
Yeah, and there, it's one of those things like Nightmare on Elm Street, where like, where, you know, part of the world comes back with her, so you know it's more of like a visceral experience.
Like part of her hair gets cut, and she like wakes up with the hair like on her pillow and stuff.
So yeah, there's that going on, and it turns out the curse. That Mojo family isn't totally innocent in it. There's sort of like a black magic war between two families. And also, the ritual has been going wrong because there's a saboteur in the bunch. Yes. And that's sort of the rub. Yeah.
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 Yeah. That sounds about right. And there's a lot of different spiritual elements going on. For example, Sri, one of the reasons she was picked along with the other women to do this ritual is they were all born on something called Kilwan Friday, which is a very sacred night for the Javanese people. And it happens, I think, about once a month, from what I understand. And this is a night when the spirits of your ancestors come back to visit, and the family members provide offerings like bitter coffee, water, and jasmine wrapped in leaves. But it seems like it's also kind of a spooky night. But ultimately, if everything goes right, the spirits bless the bereaved family. Mm-hmm. That's kind of interesting. But it's one of those things where I feel like that's probably important, but it's like a cultural disconnect, you know, where it's like we don't fully... I had to do research to find this out, and I still don't really fully understand the importance of that day.
So yeah, it kind of sounds like Dia de los Muertos, but also that's another thing about in choosing this movie, and Rocket, who I talked to, who's from this culture, she, you know, how we started talking about this is just how she's like, you know, where I'm from, they do these, like, possession is a very, like, real thing. I mean, a lot of people believe in it. I mean, it's sort of the way we do different rituals. I don't know that they necessarily believe in it, but it's these... like the veil is thinner or something, but also they, she, I watched these videos that were real you know, of people having demons pulled out of them. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. That's kind of interesting. Do you have any?
Definitely what?
Any words?
Words. I mean, like, not about like the like general summary. Like, I feel like that's probably pretty accurate. I rewatched part of the film because I would say like the plot gets relatively convoluted towards the end. And I do think a lot of it has to do with like not understanding like certain elements that maybe would just be like, oh, I know that reference, or oh, I'm aware of that. So I just rewatched it to sort of just absorb like what's the actual like plot going on. Because there's also like these twists that sort of occur where it seems like I was supposed to like know more and I'm supposed to be more shocked. So I was like trying to like go back and like put the pieces together because I was like, I don't really understand like the relevance of this to the plot, but it seems like pretty important. Like it seems like it's very crucial. And I liked it. I mean, we'll talk more about like our personal opinions about it, but I would say like it's got some good ghost scenes. And I haven't seen like a lot of Indonesian horror films. I've also seen Satan Slaves, but like the original one, it's like from this, I think like 1979 or like 1980.
I've never seen that.
And I really like that movie. I had a really great time watching that movie. It looks visually really fun. It's got like some cool coloring. And the music's super fun. But I think like the ghosts in Indonesian films are always like pretty fun. There's a lot of good like ghost action and like cool shots of ghosts like in dark corners. And I'm a big fan of like weird ghost stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, speaking of ghosts, there are these floating torso apparitions mm-hmm. that appear in this film. And they're very visually striking and pretty creepy. What I was thinking when we were watching this is, I wonder if those dudes are like some type of specific Indonesian spirit that maybe is represented in some kind of lore or some kind of tale. But again, I have no idea. But anyways, those are some of my favorite spirits that appear in this film. They're just so creepy, and I've never seen anything quite like it. Yeah.
I bet you guys are right. I bet there are like things that if you know, like, I don't know. What do we have from our, I don't know,
Stay like Bigfoot
marshmallow.
Lore. Like, I mean, we just have like
Marshmallow
like,
Man, yes.
I'm just also thinking of like cultural lore, like Bigfoot lore.
Sure.
And
no,
like
that,
random
that's
stuff
more
like
it
that,
in the Northwest,
like,
mm-hmm. which we're
we
all
more
from.
About
yeah.
That.
Yeah.
I honestly, those like torso ghosts were kind of familiar to me. Like, I'm not like quite aware of like if there's a particular legend, but there's these like books that my dad used to have that were like these drawings that artists did of like random apparitions from like legends and like different cultures, or just like random things that they thought of too, but mainly they were like legends. I think like there's like the Wendigo, stuff like that, and there was like one spirit that was like similar kind of to the ones depicted in this movie that were like a floating torso with like longer hair and this sort of like almost like witchy appearance that like I kind of thought of when I saw this and like rewatched it again today.
Yeah. The one thing you mentioned is, so they get to this cabin to start the ritual, and it seems like shit starts to go haywire pretty quick. Like the shit really starts to hit the fan, and there are sort of two contributing factors. One, you mentioned the cassette tape kind of going wrong, and this cassette tape is what they're supposed to follow as they're doing the nightly ritual.
Kemudian ke bagian perut, ke bagian wajah, lalu ke bagian punggungnya. Anda telah bersedia membantu saya untuk melakukan ritual basuh sendo. Saya mohon dengar. Membantu saya bukanlah menutup keranda, cucu saya. Kalian membantu saya bukalah penutup keranda, cucu saya. Kalian bisa melepas tali, cucu saya. Kalian membantu saya, bukalah penutup keranda, cucu saya. Kalian bisa melepas tali, cucu saya.
And they have to have it done before the sun sets, I think. Or the sun rises, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
But you know when that tape is getting trippy that the shit's going down. But the other issue is they need a lot of water for bathing ritual.
Mm-hmm.
And almost immediately their water pump, it's a hand water pump, that immediately starts breaking. So they're already running out of water. And it almost seems like all three of the main characters have to be pretty much on the same page. And so they're scrambling around, try to get this water pump working. One of the characters is experiencing this sort of hallucinatory cassette tape issue. So yeah, there's definitely a lot of challenges that they are inflicted with almost immediately upon starting the ritual.
Yeah, you're right. The water is a huge part of it.
Oh, yeah.
Because they have to bathe. So the ritual is they have to bathe her. Part of it is they have to bathe her, and there's like these like flowers and stuff.
Yeah. And with the like dream too, that's also related to like water issues, but kind of the central plot point is like the main character who's having these dreams where she's like waking up in this sugarcane field that's also sort of like tinted green in this very interesting way, is that's like whatever realm is like contains the matriarch's granddaughter.
So she's trapped there.
And they're like connected. And this demon kid is
sort of, yeah. Yeah, that's why I wanted you to talk, because I know it's fresher to you, and it's kind of...
Well, yeah. Like, that's like a big important part of it, is like the reason why she's having those dreams is because she's like somehow like spiritually connected to like that girl. And I think it has to do with the fact that like inadvertently, like she's not aware of this, but like somewhere along like her like relatives or like family line, there is some like lingering of like dark magic that's kind of like referenced in the film. But like she's not like involved in this in any way other than she just happens to like basically have the key to solving this problem.
But it also has to do with being born on Kill One Friday.
Oh yeah, that's like important to the ritual, but like she specifically is the only person who can like
She's connected to the granddaughter. Della.
And like they have to do another ritual that involves needing water. And that becomes a problem again, where they don't have enough water for the like ritual either. So it's like constant issue.
Constant issues. Huh. That's very relatable. And also an important part of this movie. Mm-hmm. Did y'all think that there were some Evil Dead influences in this film?
I can see that. Again, I'm sorry that I did my best to like recap, but the visuals are the first thing to go for me, you know, and I should have maybe.
I think so. Just in terms of some camera work, like I think with Evil Dead, the particular camera work with the ghost apparition sort of like zooming through the forest and that way.
Oh, the way it moved. Yeah.
It sort of like impacted a lot. Of way, because it's like a POV too of like this spirit that you don't get to see at all. And like in that movie, the movie we just watched, you know, you definitely like see these apparitions, but there are definitely, I think, some camera angles and things like that where things move in a particular way where it's that sort of quick POV of like something coming at you. And I like that style of camera work. I think there were some moments, movies like PG-13 too.
It's PG-13.
Hmm. Or like TV 14.
I don't understand the rating system.
But no, like it kind of like jump scared me a couple of times.
It's like rotten corpses and murder, but like you can't see tits again.
Well, yeah, there's no boobs or like butt. And like there's no one like getting like, you know, decapitated or anything. And like people die, but like most people don't. Like they get like really. They get like their shit rocked, but they end up getting back up. Like I thought like so many people died and they just like get back up. Because I thought for sure too, especially when people started getting attacked by like demons, I was like, oh, they're out of the game.
The opening scene, those girls die.
Yeah.
They got like their throats horribly. Crushed, but like
head crush or whatever. Yeah. That was another great subtitle. It was like hit the head hardly. Yeah. Hit the head hardly. Anyway.
But I thought, you know, the look and the behavior of some of the possessed entities in this reminded me of Evil Dead.
Mm-hmm.
And then also the cabin when filmed from certain cabin. Angles definitely had sort of an Evil Dead vibe to me.
Mm-hmm.
No comedy, though. There's a lot of gross stuff, people getting bitten and whatnot, but, you know.
Pretty serious.
Evil Dead, even the first one, that's more of a straight horror film, has a bit of comedy to it. I felt like there was no comedy. They played this pretty straight.
That's something when we get to like our feelings, a little bit more of our actual feelings about it. Or maybe is that where we are? I don't remember how this works. How does this work?
It doesn't have to work anyway. I mean, I think that's kind of a part of it too, of its lack of comedy
makes it a little tedious for me. And it's like how, you know, I was saying, I feel like some of these movies feel the same to me just the way I feel about slashers, where it's all just like girl running, girl running, girl running. Doesn't escape, you know, falls, gets her throat slit or boobs, you know. I kind of feel that about these. And maybe part of it is there's like not a lot of levity.
Well, yeah. I mean, I thought that like part of the reason why it was sad is because also like what the characters were like going through was particularly serious. Like everyone who was in that situation literally had no other choice.
This is a good segue to, they have to do it because they need money.
Yeah, that was something that I was thinking about when we were watching this, is that it's reminiscent of the way things are here in this country, where people get in massive medical debt and they're basically enslaved to any way that they can pay that off. And sometimes that's just having health insurance at a job you hate or whatever, but you have to stay there and suffer it out, even if it's a toxic environment, because your family needs that health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And if you leave your job, you're screwed, especially like if someone's sick or something. And in this film, the main character's father is ill, and her sister, I believe, had passed away from some kind of illness.
Oh, yeah, yes. When they were younger. Mm-hmm.
And that was because they didn't have the money or the resources.
Medicine, yeah,
they couldn't afford the medicine. And so the whole reason that Bree gets into the situation is so she can afford the medicine for her father, who is suffering from some kind of illness.
Yeah.
But then the, you know, the head matriarch also tells her, as she's trying to decide whether to take the job, even though she's already kind of freaked out because she's had to, you know, bathe this,
right,
like,
that's like
peeling
the
woman. Yeah.
Kind of, she has to, yeah.
She basically tells Shree that I will make all your medical debt and all your father's medicines will be paid for. And so she's kind of stuck. She's like so committed to doing the right thing, even though she kind of knows that this is a shit show going into it, or she has a bad feeling of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's just what I was thinking, is just like, oh yeah, that's kind of just how real life is.
Yeah. And then also the people, you know, the caretakers. You know, these three women are like the caretakers, and we've recently experienced like the caretakers, and what a shit job that is, and maybe sometimes how they're not super invested in it.
Yeah, it's a tough job, man.
It's a tough job, and it's not well compensated enough.
Mm-hmm. And it kind of sucks too, because I liked sort of these women's like plights, in the sense that I felt like it like gave me like more.
They were
like,
relatable.
Yeah, or like there was more stake to it too. Like I was a little bit more invested. I wish like we had a little bit more information about them, because there were just like with some other characters too, just sort of like their pasts and their reasons for being there were kind of dismissed. And I was like interested in that. Like one of the other characters, one of the three women, she was also present when the other like two women from the beginning died. And she was talking about how, like, she was just told if she could make it to the 1,000th day, like, she could be free of this. And she had to, like, leave her husband and her child. And it was, like, you know, this, like, super shitty situation where she was just constantly the whole time trying to, like, be positive. And she had a lot of faith in, like this working out for her and getting to get out of the situation, regardless of what was actually happening.
It might have already been too long, though, and so adding too much exposition on each individual character might have put me over there.
Yeah, but I liked it, because I like stuff like that. I like that element. It makes it more
interesting. And you're right. Like, if you have some buy-in, like, if you care about a character, it's easier to connect with a movie for sure. I mean, that's just, you know.
Yeah. But I agree, though, it has to be done effectively, too. Like, just giving backstory about a character isn't going to, like, make it automatically good, mm-hmm. like, in general. It's just, like, I think it helps add depth, especially, like, when we're talking about horror movies, which can be repetitive, you know what I mean?
And especially if it's, like, horror movies where women are just getting murdered.
Exactly. We're, like...
Which, I guess you're right, they didn't get murdered.
They didn't get murdered in that film, but, yeah, like, it's not, like, needed all the time, but I do think, like, you know, when we're talking about, like, repetitive movies, and, like, I agree with that, like, some, like, a lot of horror movies end up being kind of the exact same idea, just, like, different actors and, like, right, a little different bit different. Setting,
or, like, it's, yeah. It's not in a hospital, it's on a farm, yeah. It's not, you know, it's a...
Right. Yeah. It's important to add, like, interesting character elements, so, like, you have another reason for why you're there.
Totally.
Yeah, man. Any other major notes you want to discuss before we start talking about our feelings and our thoughts and our feelings?
Which, as usual, I already did. Yeah. Yeah, a little bit. Not that much, but a little
here
bit.
Here and there. A little bit of pee. Yeah. There and there.
A little bit of pee, a little bit of poop.
A little bit of poop. Man, it's just all connected, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One big circle.
It is of life. Pee.
Okay. Well, let's talk about what we liked and what we didn't like. We can summarize, I guess, a little bit. Who wants to start?
I'll start because I picked it. It was pretty. The acting seemed good. Like Buggy said, there was some character buy-in, at least about Shri and like her story. It's creep. Like the visuals are creepy. You know, yeah, I like ghosts. The way things move is creepy. So that's sort of what I liked. Audio was probably, it's hard to remember, but I feel like the audio was cool. And... what I didn't like is I just kind of feel like, and I think Cody really figured it out for me. There's just no levity to break it up. It's just kind of like, man, what a bummer,
mm-hmm.
you know? And maybe I'm not a huge possession movie guy,
mm.
you know? There's The Exorcist. There's a few other, you know, Deborah, whatever. That one was pretty good. But I feel like possession movies can be a little one note for me.
Fair That's, enough.
Unless yeah. they're funny, and you know, it's
yeah, true. I'll second you on the audio or the sound design. I think specifically, I like the way they did the creepy cassette tape mm-hmm. that started shifting around and would end up in the wrong place, and it would all get jumbled up. It sounded pretty cool. The spirits are definitely creepy. It's pretty intense at moments, and I thought that was effective. Like you said, the acting's great. It's a super competently made movie. It looks great. There's really no problems technically. It does get a little convoluted, and I think that could just be a cultural thing mm-hmm. or it could just be a writing thing. But yeah, it definitely started to get a little bit confused towards the end with some of the stuff. Seemed like it was a pretty straightforward movie, and then all of a sudden they started piling additional things on. It was like maybe multiple twists that
kind
of...
The dreams, yeah, the dreams added...
The dreams made a lot of, like, that's the one part
See, she's got a different...
of this movie that I, like, I really locked in on that element. Like, I yeah. know exactly what they're talking about when it comes to the dreams. I just think, like, there's some family lore that maybe they just, like, dropped
kinda
in there
glossed
randomly.
Or maybe we should have understood.
Like, I didn't mm-hmm. understand. Because I was like, okay, I get who that guy is in the dream. I don't know if I'm supposed to talk about that. But I know the Axeman who's in the, like, dream land, which isn't a dream land. It's actually just, like, a demon dimension is mm-hmm. really what it is. It's, like, this other plane. And there's this, like, guy there who's guarding the granddaughter. That's what his job is there. And that's what the main, like, girl, she keeps, like, running into him. And he keeps almost killing her. Like, every single time she gets in the, like, sugarcane land.
Sugarcane land, we call it.
That's just, like, the best way to describe
X-Man
it.
Yeah, like, the sugarcane land.
She, like, she is connected because she's got, like, that, like, familial tie
mm-hmm.
to, like, the magic element. So she's, like, she's on it.
Kind of like the upside down or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Or yeah. I guess that, you know, sometimes when someone is possessed, it is like, well, they are somewhere. And they're being held somewhere, you know, because there's a demon in them and then their soul somewhere.
And this isn't like really a spoiler because you don't know like who this is. But the rat, the situation with like the
saboteur,
the saboteur, right? that person's connected to the man who's guarding the granddaughter. Like, they know each other very well.
In the carnal sense.
Yes, exactly.
I don't think this is too much of a spoiler, but do you think all of the three main characters were meant to be killed? You know how they dig that mass grave?
Yeah.
Or was it just like, they're probably not going to make it because this is too
intense?
Maybe
it was a trade, yeah. That's or maybe it was like, hey, maybe, you know, they were definitely expendable.
I think so. Honestly, like, I really think so, especially like just some of the, like, you know, scenes with Shree, like, really just like cleared it up for me, like, that this family that they're working for are not good. It's like matriarch, she's not good. She's not a good person.
Right.
And also that, like, I think it was just by chance, the fact that Shree was able to, like, get and, like, make contact with her granddaughter, like, no one in the past 1,000 days have been able to. It was, like, only her.
Right.
There was, like, a moment of, like, you can save us all in this situation if you can get her back. Because if you can't, then, like, we're all fucked, basically, is, like, what the matriarch was saying. And there's, like, a whole other thing of, like, she was trying to buy her, like, Shree the whole time. Like, the matriarch was basically trying to, like, buy her in the sense of, like, your soul is mine in a way. Like, that's how I felt about it. Like, she was just trying to, like, indoctrinate her into, like, her, like, crew is the way I felt about it. Either kill her or, like, get her.
Hmm.
So that's, yeah.
I know the dreams are important.
No, even the dreams anymore. That's just you. That's just
she was
you.
Berating me about how the dreams were.
I was not berating anyone.
I liked the dream part too. I thought that was pretty cool.
I'm simple. I am simple,
but
man.
It's not even that, like, you're simple. It's that I, like, explained this to her, like, very clearly, at least twice. And then she kept asking the same question. And I was like, I told you this. This is, like, the one part I know.
The old people in this house have had a hard couple of weeks.
I know. I was just, like, so proud of myself for figuring it out. And I just felt stupid.
You are very smart. Cody, thanks. Were you done with your likes and dislikes?
Sorry.
I don't remember.
I'm so sorry.
The old people.
I probably was.
The old people are not what they used to be.
I mean, yeah, you ended before this all started with just the plot being convoluted is where you were left off.
Yeah, and it wasn't even that convoluted, but enough that it kind of threw me for a loop, I would say, I guess. I don't know. One of those things where I feel like when you have, like, a nice, simple movie that you think you know what track it's on, and then it starts to add things, and sometimes if it's done right, you're like, oh, they're adding something, that's cool. And sometimes it's like, why are you adding all this stuff? You're like,
right.
I was totally with it.
Right, because sometimes when it's just a vibe, it's better than when it's, like, a vibe plus the kitchen sink or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially if the kitchen sink's got a bunch of doo-doo in it.
Oh, yep. Or urine.
Yeah. Okay. You guys want to do a little bits of business on this
one? Were you done with your likes and dislikes?
I mean, I like the movie.
She liked the movie.
I liked it. I mean, I just like horror movies. Honestly, I have a good time pretty much any time one is on.
Yeah, that's true. I you know, it's very rare that I don't have a good time watching a movie. That's true. It's got to be like, you know.
I'm like pretty into all of that. I'm just into it. I don't know. I like weird ghost shit. Possession stuff scares me too. Like, I like movies like that, but especially if they're really good, it really stresses
me
out.
Too much.
I hate that shit because it, I don't know. I don't like necessarily like believe in that, but I just have this like, I feel like rational understanding of like, I don't want any of that energy near me ever one time.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, thank you. Bye.
Yeah, what's that book I have over there about the possession thing that they're turning into a film?
Oh, is it like a head full of ghosts?
Oh, yeah, Head Full of Ghosts. That was a good book.
I don't think I read it.
It's actually
yeah,
like,
you should check it out.
Really
yeah.
popular. Like, a lot of people, like, it's, like, gained a lot of traction, I feel like. Like, people are really, I saw that book, like, recommended a lot on, like, book lists this year and stuff.
Oh, yeah, I haven't read it.
Check it out. It's, you know, possession. Related, so it fits in with this topic, I reckon. Okay, what do you guys think about? So I was thinking about this a little bit. Do you want to keep doing the obscurity rating going into the future? I feel like it's getting a bit tedious and we've like picked holes in it. It's a fun game, but it's starting to feel meaningless.
I don't know. I kind of like it. Also, I mean, it doesn't influence our votes, I don't think, on whether or not it's a gem, right?
No, I don't think it does. But I mean, maybe we could like alter it in some way if we want to make it like more like meaningful. But I mean, I kind of just like, I like the stats element of it.
I kind of do too, because I just like to see like sometimes it's like, whoa, this one only has 350. I don't know. Right. I just find that kind of interesting.
Or like we could just like mention it when it's like a particularly interesting thing where it's like not that obscure, or it is like relatively obscure.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But I like it. I just like, I want all of the information I can get.
I might add a little more data to it at some point. Like, I've been messing around with Letterboxd, which is really cool, actually. It's sort of an alternative to IMDb, but it feels a little more personal or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It feels like just normal people giving their opinions that aren't just like dickwads being like, this movie fucking sucks.
Or you also know? Like on IMDb, it's obviously people with agendas writing, you know, like they worked on it or they, I mean, but whoever, you're still, your opinion counts.
Not for the movie if you worked on it.
Yeah, I guess not.
Just give me the tea.
Okay. So we'll think about maybe revising that a little bit in the future. But until then, we'll do it the standard way. So this has 2,600 IMDb votes. Very comfortably within our boundaries there, although it is new, so we'll see what happens over the next year or so. Maybe it'll take off, maybe it'll be put on some other more platforms and people will find it and that'll jump up. It's only got 10 critic reviews on IMDb at the moment, ain't got none on Rotten Tomatoes, a big fat zero there,
right?
And as I mentioned, this is only available one place in the United States, and that's Amazon Prime,
which we'd all like to quit.
Yeah, I know. It's like, I don't want to have a Prime.
Bezos.
But sometimes you can find good stuff to watch on there.
Mm-hmm.
Turtle Bummer. Man.
And sometimes you can't just rent it. That's the thing that pisses me off about Amazon Prime is that, you know, if it was the only place I could rent something, I'd shell out the $4 or whatever.
But you have to have Prime.
But yeah, sometimes it's like, oh, this is streaming on Prime, but you can't rent it for $4. And that pisses me off.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, in total, that's a 7. It's a 7 out of 10.
That's pretty obscure.
In terms of obscurity. Okay, we're going to vote now.
Okay.
Is everybody scared?
Close your
eyes. Is everybody going to close their eyes?
I'm going to close my eyes.
I'm torn. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Okay, guys.
All right. Here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Oh!
Okay, we have 2 down, 1 up. I'm a down.
I'm a down.
I'm an up. But like, as I said, I just like horror movies. So yeah. I had a good time and I would recommend this to people.
I wouldn't not recommend it.
Yeah, I think you should
really
watch this. Yeah. I don't think it's a gem, though. I think it's worth a watch. I think it's definitely like the a fun, creepy movie. It's a little long, but I think if you are in the mood for a cool spirit possession type film with some gross stuff, it's worth a watch.
Mm-hmm.
But there's definitely other Indonesian films that I've seen that I thought were better than this.
That's true.
One other really quick, it's kind of funny to have it be like a hidden, it's just so it's maybe a hidden gem in the States, but I read that this movie had like, it was hugely successful.
Mm-hmm.
It had like 3 million tickets sold in the first 2 weeks of its release in Jakarta or whatever. So it's kind of funny.
Gem, like maybe
in
to
the States.
Here, but.
Sure, but it's just kind of an interesting.
Maybe
there he
like
goes,
I would
poppin'.
Say.
Popping.
I was going to say, like, maybe I'd, like, retract the thumb up and do, like, a half thumb, because I agree with the, like, what Cody said, which is that there are, like, probably more, like, there are better ones to, like, like recommend in terms of like quality for like a hidden gem for like an Indonesian film.
Half them is right for me too, and probably like it's just like it just.
So in that case, it is like, yeah, it's for me. It's a turd in this like particular rating scale. Remember, because we have a gem or a turd.
I forgot about turds.
But well, we have like you know, there's like
it's a meh.
There's like full turds, yeah, not right. quite a turd, and gems.
There is yeah. a turd scale. So yeah, it's like
a shard.
I think it's no, a it's fun
not.
Movie.
It's not bad. It's not bad.
Yeah, I wouldn't be like, I don't like this movie, don't watch it. I'd be like, it's a good movie, and I'd watch it. Like, I'd recommend it. I'd put it on again, just like in the background when I'm studying, you know?
Mm. Yeah, and then, like you said, in terms of here in America, or here in North America, it's probably really underseen. A lot of people haven't heard of it, but in Indonesia, like if somebody was listening to this who was from Indonesia, they'd be like, what the fuck are you talking about? Everyone's seen this
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, we all saw it. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, that's just interesting.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Okay, well, that was great. We watched a movie. It was pretty good. We had some mixed opinions about it. So, as I mentioned, we got disrailed. Disrailed?
Sure.
Yeah, disrailed.
We got disrobed and derailed this year.
Dysentery.
In terms of our October experience, the schedule went out the goddamn window. But, like we mentioned, we watched a lot of movies. We want to do a recap of those. As you probably heard at the beginning, I used my very special October theme one last time before I retire it and we go back to our normal theme song. I was hoping to have used that at least four times, but oh well, fuck it, who cares. Do you want to, we could just list off all the movies we've watched since the last one. We don't have to comment. I have a list too.
Yeah, your list is probably better because I haven't written the ones over the last 2 days, so
okay. And there's a couple notes that we can we could make here, but we're not going to do like
just going to say the
full,
names.
Yeah, full comments.
Okay.
So since the last time we published an episode, we watched The Redeemer, Son of Satan from 1978, which actually might be my episode.
Ooh! Oh yeah, Cody's next.
Yeah, I might pick that as my episode. I had a handful of movies on the list this year that I was thinking of possibly doing for my episode, and that might be the one. We went to the theater and saw The Substance,
mm-hmm.
or at least Beth and I did. Have you seen The Substance yet?
Caroline?
Oh,
I just revealed your real name.
Oh my god, you just doxed me, dude.
What?
I called her Carolyn.
Oh. Carolyn! You did it again!
Okay, I said it three times.
You're my op. No.
Anyway, The Substance is good. You should check it out.
No,
we
I've heard
through it.
The grapevine.
It wasn't even on our list. We just decided to go to a matinee one day and check it out because we had some extra time. And that was totally worth seeing it in the theater. I enjoyed it. We watched a little found footage movie called Mind, Body, Spirit from 2023.
Which I might pick. I really liked that one.
Yeah. We watched Oddity from 2024. That's on Shudder right now. It was pretty good. Obviously, Suodino, which is this episode. We watched that as part of our list. We went to the queer horror screening of The Convent from 2000 at the Hollywood Theater. That was a fun time.
That was incredible.
The movie's a shit show, but it's a
Love
shit
the
show.
The most fun kind.
Yeah, a perfect shit show. We watched Moloch, which is a Dutch film from 2022. We watched the creature feature Slugs from 1988. Beyond Dream's Door from 1989. That was kind of a piece of shit, but whatever. We watched Let Sleeping Corpses Lie from 1974. That has a different name also, but I'm drawing a blank on it.
That's the only movie I think I actually fell asleep in.
Oh, it's the alternate name is The Living Dead at Manchester Morgue,
right.
I believe.
Oh, that's
sometimes
right.
Sometimes you see that name more often than Let Sleeping Corpses Lie, but they're pretty interchangeable. We watched Fatal Frame, pretty good. We watched a little independent film called Head Trauma from 2006. We watched this thriller that really wasn't a horror film called White of the Eye. It was hella weird.
Sensual.
I don't know if I'd recommend it unless you're in the mood for a really weird thing. I watched a Bigfoot movie from the 70s called The Creature from Black Lake, which was kind of like a fun buddy hangout thing. We watched Bodies, Bodies, Bodies finally.
Oh yeah, Buggy's seen that already.
It's a fun movie.
We all like that. And then on Halloween, we watched Dark Harvest and Haunt.
You forgot the movie that actually might have been my favorite.
What was it?
The Coffee Table.
Oh, The Coffee Table. Yes. Spanish film called The Coffee Table. If you want to watch something kind of fucked up with some very dark comedy elements, check out The Coffee Table.
Yeah, it was fucked up.
Yeah. Anyways, we will put together some top 10 lists or something, or top five, or however, whatever makes sense from what we watched in October, and we'll get back to you in the next episode with that shit. For now, I hope there's still a country before we record next.
One more thing. Cody is the best. He pulled this off after the month that he's had.
The goat.
For thanks, he's a Cody. Jolly good fellow or whatever the fuck.
I don't know
the
what you're talking about.
Into the mic. Yes, the glue.
My month was totally normal.
Yeah, totally.
It was.
Yep. Okay. Anyways, see you on the flip slide. Boop bop.
Bye.
Hey.
Dirt dogs on a gym hunt. Oh, 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 oh